All right. Well, our next guest is a Raider Nation favorite, the on-air television analyst on Monday Night Football in the booth, who ended his NFL career in the silver and black, back in 1998. Louis Riddick now joins us. Now, Louis, how excited are you to do this game, the first ever regular season game at the new Allegiant Stadium in the NFL's newest market?
Yeah, this is as good as it gets. You know, I mean, everyone knows very well, or should know, and if they don't, they will know now, that my time, you know, in Oakland is some of the most cherished time I ever spent in the NFL. It was special to wear the silver and black, just like it is for just about anybody who played for that organization, whether it was Oakland, L.A., or now going to be here in Vegas, to help this game with Brian Griese and Steve Levy in this what looks like just out of this world fantastic new stadium is a dream come true. It's a historic night for Monday Night Football in terms of our history. And so it doesn't get any bigger than that. It's going to be on all the networks, ABC, ESPN, ESPN2. It'll be a lot of eyeballs watching. It's a great event, man. It's a great event. I'm already here in Vegas. I can't wait till Monday night. It seems like it's forever and a day away. And I'm just hoping that it goes quick.
Louis, you've been on record multiple times of saying that it's just different when you're a Raider, and it's special when you're a Raider. What does it mean to put on the silver and black, put that helmet on, and come out of that tunnel and be a Raider?
Yeah, man. Look, I mean, this goes way back, okay? Way back before me, you know, the tradition, the commitment to excellence that, you know, that Mr. Davis used to always talk about and became the Raiders' mantra. This goes back to the days of Ted Hendricks, Kenny Stabler, Cliff Branch, Matt Millen, Lester Hayes, Mike Haynes, Mike Davis, all these guys, Van McElroy. I mean, these are all guys who, as a kid, I grew up watching, okay? And you could just tell that there was a familial atmosphere within that organization and on those teams that was different. It was special. It had a little bit of a bad boy edge to it, which I liked, which I was drawn to, because I think football players are naturally aggressive, and they kind of like a little bit of that outlaw, us against the world type of persona. And that's something that the Raiders embraced, and they were successful. And so growing up, I was always like, man, and plus, okay, on top of it, the silver and black, I mean, that's just about as good as it gets as far as the way it looks when you put it on. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I played against the Raiders, let me see, once when I was drafted in San Francisco in 1991, we played the Raiders in the preseason game down in L.A., and I remember that was Ronnie Lott's first year in L.A. So I just remember looking across the field and seeing number 42 and seeing Lott in that jersey, in the Raider jersey, and I'm just thinking, man, and I remember seeing Howie Long, who I talk to now every now and then, so I just remember thinking, it'd be cool to wear that jersey at some point in time. So when I wound up playing there, I remember the first game at the Coliseum, coming out for pregame, and you hear the autumn wind song start playing, and the Raiderettes are there, and you run down towards the black hole, down in the end zone, and then come out underneath the goalpost. I just remember getting goosebumps and thinking, holy, you know, I mean, I'm a Raider now. I'm a Raider. And it just kind of, it fed into the way I like to play the game. You know, guys like Lott, and guys like Jack Tatum, and Mr. Atkinson, and Mike Davis, and those guys. I got to see Lester last year when I was in Oakland. I mean, those are the guys. I mean, as a defensive back, I liked everything that they embodied as football players. I totally bought into all of it. And so when I played out there, I mean, I gave it my all. I tried to knock everybody silly, everyone. I just tried to play in that image. And I think, well, just kind of fast forward into Monday night, you guys got one now in your secondary, number 24, Jonathan Abram, who plays just like that. And I'm sure Mr. Davis is looking down at him going, that's what I want on my football team right there. Well, that kid could play in any era.
Yeah, and Louis, it's funny because that was the first question I was going to ask you about. Again, we're speaking to Louis Riddick, the analyst for ESPN's Monday Night Football. And you talked about Jonathan Abram a couple days ago, and you spent a lot of time in the front office. You were a scout. You did player personnel stuff. He has the skill and ability. Everybody knows that. But there's that piece of him, that intangible, and you being a defensive back know better than anybody. Talk why he looks so special, even though he's played five quarters of football.
Well, because he plays at a speed, both mentally and physically, that is well beyond his years and stands out amongst his peers. when Jonathan sees it, and he sees it quickly in terms of play recognition, he is gone. And it is a flash. And quite honestly, with the new, you know, player speed tracking technology that we have in the NFL, he's one of the fastest players, literally, in terms of speed and the rate at which he covers ground in the NFL. It's already been documented just this past week. So when you see that, and then when he arrives at the point of attack, it is, I mean, it's destruction that's happening with this guy. Just ask Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey will remember number 24 from the Raiders all year long. Because he put some hits on that young man that just don't see. Look, there's only a few guys in the secondary who do that now. Mm-hmm. I mean, him and Jamal Adams right now kind of play the same way. They both play just like, it's just fury. It's fury for as long as I'm out there. It's just, you better buckle up. You better put a mouthpiece in because it's fury like for 3 hours. And that to me, I mean, that makes me giddy. I mean, I'm sure I'm going to have some unique perspective in the booth on Monday night because you know he's just going to bring it. And he's going up against a football team in the Saints and a quarterback in Drew Brees. But also, look, they're one of the standards. Sean Payton, Drew Brees, that combination is the standard in the NFL in terms of being able to take advantage of your weaknesses and trying to stay away from your strengths. And the Raiders got their work cut out for them. Michael Thomas or not, they got their work cut out for them trying to slow down this offense. And what would be better than to see Jonathan Abram square up against a guy like Alvin Kamara or, you know, Taysom Hill or Latavius Murray and just see one of those good old-fashioned head knocks, well, not head knockers, pad-to-pad knockers where you know in that stadium it's going to resonate throughout the entire stadium. Now, that's just what it's all about. I mean, you can hear it in my voice. I wish we were playing this game tonight because that kid is fun to watch. I just hope he stays healthy, man, because he plays in the image of the old schoolers. And if Lester's watching this game, which I'm sure he will be. If Ronnie watches this game, you know, from out there in the Bay Area, which I'm sure he will, these guys will go, I would have liked to have played with that kid. No question
Lewis,
about it.
We always love your player evaluation. You're always break these guys down. He's coming out of college really, really well. John Gruden, he tore down the roster in 2018 when he made the return to the sideline. What have you seen as far as talent evaluation and the growth on the roster of the Raiders?
Well, I think over the past 2 years, what they've tried to do is two things. One, get younger. Two, get faster. They got younger last year. They're trying to get faster this year. Okay, they're really trying to get much faster, particularly on offense. Despite how efficient they were on offense last year, especially Derek, as far as his yards per attempt, completion percentage, it wasn't a very explosive down the field offense that could really strike you like the Kansas City Chiefs can. Okay, let's just use them as an example. And I think the reason why was because, look, really, Darren Waller and Josh Jacobs were their guys. That was it. Hunter Renfrow was a nice addition, but those were their two guys. They need some people on the outside that can really get going. And obviously this year with Henry and Brian, I mean, those are two young cats that can really get it going on the outside. So I think that's what there was a conscious effort on their part to do that. And you see how they're using Henry after 1 week. I'm going to make this point, but just remember this. Remember how Andy Reid uses Tyreek Hill in Kansas City and where he puts him. And how he strategically tries to match him up against certain aspects of the opponent's defense. John's doing the exact same thing. And if you watch the tape, you'll see why. I'm going to point it out Monday because I guarantee it's going to happen. On defense, same thing is going on. They're trying to get more speed for Paul Gunther. They needed more speed at linebacker. They went out, spent the money. They were one of the least invested teams from a cap dollar perspective in 2018 and 19 on defense. They tried to change that this year. They spent more money on the second level. They brought Malik Collins in. They get John back. Trayvon Mullen's on the corner now. So they've got more speed and youth. Now it's, can we get them all on the same page, keep them healthy, get them to execute? Because their division is getting tougher. The Broncos are better. The Chiefs, you know they're going to be one of the top two teams in the league. The Chargers, if they can ever figure out what's going on at quarterback and stay healthy, they'll be competitors too. So the Raiders got to keep pace. Let's see what happens.
Lewis Riddick from ESPN's Monday Night Football, amongst other things. He's a busy guy over at ESPN. And Lewis, we look at this game. You mentioned earlier, Saints without Michael Thomas. The Raiders may be without Trent Brown, their big right tackle, and Nick Kwiatkowski, their linebacker. What are the Raiders going to have to do? I mean, Drew Brees, I don't care if it's a diminished Drew Brees. He's still Drew Brees. What are they going to have to do to stay in this game and have a chance to win their first home game in Las Vegas?
Well, I think one of the first things you have to do with Drew is, look, they're one of the most efficient first down passing teams in the NFL. And once they get you going that way, once they loosen you up because they say, hey, we're not just going to run it, we're going to throw it for you on first down, and we're going to have put together a string of successful plays to where it's just easy for us to manage first down, first down. And then we can run Latavius Murray down your throat. We can throw Alvin out there and move him all over the place. And then when we get in the red area, we're the best team in the NFL because how good Kamara is, how good Michael Thomas was. Now he's not going to be there. But we're just good. We're good at picking you apart because we have one of the best passers in history. We have one of the best play callers in history. That passer and that play caller have been together forever. So you better be on top of it defensively as far as being able to handle the pace that they go at, all the different personnel groupings they use. And you better not just sit back and play some kind of conservative zone coverage and act like you're a fan and just watching Drew Brees, because he'll just pick you apart. So they're going to have to be smart. They're going to have to be composed because of all the personnel groupings. And then when the ball's thrown, they're going to have to hit, tackle, get off the field, give their offense a chance to then execute against what is a pretty good defense on New Orleans' part. Now, I know that sounds simplistic, but in many ways football is. There's only so many things you can do. It's just whether or not you can do them. The Saints operate at a very, very high tempo because there's so much familiarity amongst their offensive players. And the Raiders are going to have to be able to match their tempo and match their brain power and their football intellect. Because if you don't, you stay too basic. Sean is just like, it'll be like a professor going against, a first-year freshman chemistry student. It just won't be fair. So you're going to have to play the physical and the mental game to beat this team.
Lewis, why is Cam Jordan not talked about nationally enough? At least in my opinion, he's not.
Yeah, he's just not. He's not the explosive, dynamic edge guy like, let's just say, like Bond is, or like guys, like he's not the freak athlete like Myles Garrett is in Cleveland. He's not the dominant interior guy who is just making people look silly like Aaron Donald does. He's just steady as hell, and he's constantly double-digit sacks, plays up and down the line of scrimmage. The defense hasn't really ever gotten a lot of attention in New Orleans, although statistically last year they were very, very strong down the stretch. But he's good. Look, people in football know he's real good. Just that people don't. When people talk about the Saints, when the media talks about the Saints, they talk about Drew. They talk about Michael. They talk about Alvin. They talk about Sean. They don't really talk about the defense. And they get, look. How do you figure it like this? DeMario Davis is one of the best linebackers in the NFL. Period. Yep. How many people in the mainstream know who DeMario Davis is?
Exactly.
Right.
Not very many. And he's an All-Pro. He's a first-team All-Pro. And people go, DeMario, who's that? Does he play for the Pacers? Is that basketball? What are you talking about? This guy's an All-Pro. It's just that you just don't talk about that side of the ball, but they've got some ballers, man.
They do. Lewis, before we let you go, give us your thoughts on a young man who I've been impressed with both on and off the field, and that's Josh Jacobs.
His story is fantastic. Everybody knows it. I mean, the kind of resilience, fortitude that this kid has shown in his life is just off the freaking charts. He is, pound for pound, one of the toughest players in the league. He's a complete running back. Run inside, run outside. I mean, I'm going to feature him, too, on Monday night. I'm kind of telling you guys what we're going to do from a TV standpoint. I mean, he is just – he put some hits on people as a runner last week that were just – I'll have you making business decisions real quick in terms of, do you want to tackle this kid for four quarters? They need to get him even more incorporated in the passing game, and it seems like after week one – they're trying to do that because he has that kind of capability too. I mean, he's one of the best. He's right up there with the best runners in the league. As far as how they count on him, he is as big a part of their offense as any running back is a part of their respective offenses in the league. I mean, John hit a home run drafting him. They just need to, they just needed some help on the outside to help loosen things up for him.
Yeah.
So he can be even better, and so far so good.
All right. Well, Lewis Riddick from ESPN's Monday Night Football, and good luck to you, Steve, and Brian at the new Allegiant Stadium. Of course, you know they call it the Death Star. It's going to be fun, and we look forward to seeing you guys out there and watching you all season long. Hopefully we can visit with you later in the season.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I look forward to it.
All right. That's Lewis Riddick here on the Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio. Q.
Great stuff.
Great, great stuff. And we appreciate him taking the time, which is, of course, a busy part of the week as they get close and have production meetings and all sorts of things going on as the game rolls in. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Mo Moten will join us for his weekly segment. Then we move into hour number two, where Omar Ruiz from the NFL Network, who's actually been in town doing some stories. I saw him out when I was doing my COVID test out at the Raiders facility. We'll see what he's up to and what they're working on for the game on Monday night. You're listening to the Silver and Black today here on Raider Nation Radio.